Hi, my name is Christos Iwana. Welcome to the third episode of A Casual Conversation About Serious Topics, or A Cast for short. Now, real quick, at the last episode, I tried to end with this. Only one person actually went ahead and listened to this, and they're here today. There is an application to be on this podcast because everyone's like, hey, Christos, I want to be on the podcast. I'm like, all right, listen to the podcast. And nobody listened to the full thing except for my good friend Josh Scubby, who's with me here today. Sam, I sent you the link. Where'd you get it?
Where'd I get it?
Yeah.
Oh, I copied it, the bit.ly from the end of the podcast.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Then never mind. Two people did, and they're both here today. Sorry about that, then, Sam. I have Josh Scubby.
Hello. I am good at listening to your podcast.
Yes, you are, and I commend you for that. Sam Lehman is the other person here today.
I've also listened to the podcast each episode probably 1.5 times.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And Sam here just to... He's in a little bit of pain right now, so thank you again for coming on.
His leg is very broken.
Very broken.
Extremely broken.
Looking forward to my 8-hour car ride tonight.
It's going to be excruciating. But anyways, if you guys would like to go ahead and fill out that form, it's just bit.ly/ACCASTAPP or a cast app, short for application. I'd really like it if you guys could fill it out, especially if you're right-leaning, because... we live in Shaker Heights. There's not too many people, and I like to try and have them on. If you know anybody who is right-leaning, go ahead and just send them that and, like, force them to, if you will. It'd be very helpful.
Just a question, Christo. So they have to be from Shaker?
They don't have to be from Shaker. Mm. If they're somewhere in the Shaker area and they can still get to Shaker to go ahead and film a podcast, go ahead, send it to them. If you know anybody in Shaker who listens only exclusively to the Shakerite podcast, tell them to stop what they're doing and listen to my podcast. Shakerite, I love you. You do good work. You're amazing journalism. A podcast has to be longer than 10 minutes. I'm sorry. I had to say it. But anyways, I think we're just about ready to get into it. Oh, also, yeah. If anybody here is a small business owner and they'd like to sponsor us, please, I'd like the money. For the podcast, of course, not for my own purpose. That'd be just embezzlement. So let's go ahead and get started. And I know it's been a few weeks since the last episode. I wanted to do this about like a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. Except the only problem is my editor, Philip Lewicki, decided to put any level of trust into public transportation. And he got stuck downtown for like an hour long. But, you know, it's okay. We're still here. So thanks, I would have then wanted to talk about how the whole... About how the whole North Korea thing fell apart. But guess what? It fell apart, and then it came back together.
Lazarus, let's go.
Exactly. It's a Christ symbol. It's not a Christ symbol. But that's what I'd like to talk about. And these should the episode should be more weekly, hopefully, now that it's summer and I'm free. I won't be here for the next like week and a half. We may have a special guest host, or maybe we'll just go off the air again for like a month like we have. Knock on wood that we don't, though. But I'd like to go ahead and just first start talking about North Korea, if you guys would like that. So my position on the issue is I like the fact that we're working towards peace. I don't think peace has ever hurt anybody. Huh?
A little background on the situation.
Oh, yes. Some background on the situation. North Korea's bad. At least they have been. They've threatened to launch nukes at Japan, South Korea, the Korean War since the 50s, yada yada. It's all just pretty crazy. Also, Kim Jong-un is in violation of many different just human rights issues.
Just a lot. That whole thing with kidnapping the Japanese people back in the
80s. If something's bad, he's probably done that.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth.
Juche is like noche. No.
And, but either way, so Donald Trump, he's like, I'm going to bomb North Korea. I'm going to bomb him off the face of the earth.
Bomber man.
And then he's like, wait, no, I'm not. I love Kim Jong-un. I'd love to give him a big fat kiss right on his big fat face. And then we got a new national security advisor. Just as things were starting to come together, it all kind of fell apart because he said that we should institute the Libya model. And if you don't know, Gaddafi, after he gave up his nuclear weapons, was dragged through the streets.
Yeah. No.
It'd be a little hard with Kim Jong-un, I'd assume, but, you know, still, that's not something that any dictator would like to hear. So we managed to go ahead, get it back together, and personally, I'm happy that we have any, you know, just peace talks in place. I still don't think Kim Jong-un is spotless by any means. He's far from it. However, I feel this is a step in the right direction, so...
I would agree that it's a step in the right direction, but what I'm seeing generally is increased volatility And right now it's a swing towards peace, but it could easily have been a swing towards war.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically my way. And Trump is just increasingly volatile and swinging either direction. So as much as it's a good sign on the surface that we're having peace talks, it's also, but it also very well could have been it could have been a talk in the, what's the room where they not launched the nukes from, the situation?
Yeah, situation.
It could have easily been a talk there about of him wanting to nuke them, and that could be the talk we're having in 3 months.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's good on the surface, but if you look at the overall trend in foreign policy towards North Korea and the fact that we're doing it outside of the UN, mm-hmm. he's actually leaving the G7 for it. Yeah. He left a little early for it. Those things, as they coalesce, I don't like the general nature that's taking.
Also, real quick, someone remind me, I'd like to talk about the G7 later because that's pretty crazy. Yeah. But, yeah, I know what you mean. Trump is a bit of a wild card, to say the least.
Yeah.
And at least considering how the people he's surrounding himself with, you know, new national security advisor John Bolton, also walrus turned man, it's very just... I don't want to say scary, but almost like on edge. You never know what's going to happen on any given day.
Yeah, kind of with the sort of incredible speed of the first time this whole situation kind of collapsed, it's a little uneasy of like, mm-hmm. is this just going to happen again? I hope not, like you mentioned. I think a move towards peace is always a great idea. Mm-hmm. But then also, you mentioned this man is not spotless, and I think it's going to be a very uncomfortable conversation with Kim Jong-un about, hey, people deserve to be cared for.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, he might get rid of his nukes, but Kim, people need food to live. And I don't know. I just hope Donald Trump is at some point, you know, just, I don't want to say like smart enough, but almost like wise enough to realize, hey, it's more than just getting rid of the nukes on the Korean Peninsula. And I will say this is something that I'm really rooting for Trump for in this case. I don't want to
get drafted.
Exactly. Please let something good come out of this. Any other comments on NOCO, as he coined it?
Yeah, I feel like one sentiment I've seen is basically we kind of gave up a little much in the summit, I feel. Because we got a couple of agreements of we think peace is good. And hey, if you get rid of bombs, we might drop sanctions. But we didn't really get anything like real out of it, if that makes sense. There was no real agreement that came out of it. But what we gave up was massive by agreeing that we're on equal terms.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, for a lot of world leaders, being equal to the United States, sitting across the table from the president, immediately the title of the president, is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the power and the especially propaganda power that we gave Kim through this, mm-hmm. we probably should have tried to get more from it. Mm-hmm. If that makes, like even just some token show of actual real something.
Yeah,
I feel like that would have been a more effective diplomatic tack to take. You're a Mod UN. You're both Mod UN men yourself.
Both on the board.
Absolutely.
Yes. Odd man out here.
You mentioned sort of propaganda power it might give the Kim dynasty. And I think that's kind of an interesting point of if things do again fall through, then that's kind of a moment of, oh, look, we dragged these American dogs to the table.
Yeah.
And then, like, just, you know, they submitted to our will and that sort of thing.
Look how powerful we are.
Yeah, and I think in a way, if things don't work out, that serves to almost strengthen that sort of hold on just the country in general.
Yeah.
Granted, I do not think that is in any way something we should consider and actually look at it of like, oh, maybe we shouldn't go through with this. I don't think that's a wise tactic.
I will say at least something else that worries me is, speaking of the North Korean propaganda, a video just came out either yesterday or today of Donald Trump, while there, he actually saluted a North Korean general. Do not forget, at least I think he shouldn't forget that these people are still our enemies at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this general is a man who probably this time last year was like, all right, can this nuke reach Washington? Because I'd really like it if it could. So at that point, it's Washington State. I doubt their nukes could reach that far. But still, the fact of the matter is they're already using this to their advantage.
Yeah.
And again, I just think Trump should be a lot more careful here. I don't know if he fully realizes the gravity of the situation.
Also, we don't want to alienate any of our other Pacific allies either.
Yeah.
Because I know that South Korea's prime minister, who has fantastic ratings, has staked a lot of goodwill in North Korea, so that may help there. But we wouldn't want to – is Abe still the prime minister of Japan?
Yeah,
I believe so.
We wouldn't want to alienate him. And then even the Chinese prime minister, his name I cannot pronounce.
The forever president, Xi Jinping.
Yeah, Xi Jinping. playing him in off North Korea would be an interesting scenario, because basically if we can – get North Korea to negotiate with us also, that takes some power away from him.
Yeah.
And also Putin, arguably, because they're the two powers mainly propping up North Korea. But that's a dangerous game to play, I would say.
Yeah. So I'd like to turn now to the G7 summit, which I believe you brought up, Sam. Which it looks like we might be more likely now going to war with Canada than North Korea, which I find
Justin Trudeau is a socialist.
They had it coming. They burned the White House. What do you expect? You mess with us, you're going to get that work. Maybe 200 years late, but you're going to get it's that gonna work. Happen.
If anybody did not hear about that, by the way, Donald Trump, in a call to Prime Minister and part-time frat boy, Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister Trudeau asked him, like, hey, don't you need a national security reason for this? And Trump said, I'm paraphrasing here, didn't you guys burn down the White House? Which, oh my God, that's just asinine. But for me, this really worries me, because whenever the U.S. plays the isolationist game, it's just really bad, and the only way to really get out of it is if there's at some point a war. Yeah. And the whole point about just the U.S. is supposed to be the dominant superpower right now, and by going up to our allies and just spitting on them, he's not doing us favors.
Yeah.
And it worries me, because at least French President Emmanuel Macron, he went ahead and said, you know, we don't need the U.S. right now. We can go ahead and just do this without them. And even though we are the economic superpower, if we revert back to isolationism, I do believe that they could do it without us. And that really scares me, because we'd lose our standing allowing just China to come in. And
we're basically crushing all of our soft power.
Yeah.
Because, like, to quote another Shaker Madi UN alumni podcast, the Hopkins Podcast of Foreign Affairs, shout out.
That's a thing?
That's Zach Miller's podcast.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And I think they did something about soft power projection.
As long as you're not shouting out the Shaker Right podcast,
no,
I'm all good.
It's too small to shout
out to the Shaker Right. They're doing some excellent journalism over there.
But, but basically we're ruining all our soft power projections, because basically our interests align with literally no one on the planet. I can think of very few countries that are like, you know what, we should really work with the U.S., really have similar interests and goals in achieving things. The countries that mainly line up with that are Russia. That seems to be our main ally if you just took it at face value.
I think it's an idea, though, that kind of appeals to a wide, like, base of American people. At the end of the day, if Trump was looking to get reelected, this sort of idea of, like, the U.S., some view it as the U.S. cooperating, other view it to, like I mentioned earlier, submitting to our enemies in some ways. So I think appealing to this idea of, like, we're America first, like, we're number one, it kind of helps to draw out that idea of American exceptionalism that I think really resonates with a large number of American citizens.
Yeah.
I will say, personally, when I first heard about the tariffs on imported steel from Asia, I was a little hesitant after looking at it. I was thinking about it. I honestly am leaning more in favor of them, just because right now, I do believe that China is getting the better end of the deal. However, I do not think in any way, shape, or form we should import tariffs on any country who we are currently in very, very, very good standing with, such as Canada or England or Germany, like Trump is now doing.
But can I just raise another point? If you look at, I saw in the past that I think very recently, Mexico went to the World Trade Organization because China was dumping cheap steel in there. They asked for a high tariff. World Trade Organization said yes, and they therefore imposed a high tariff to counteract Chinese policies, which are manipulative. And I feel like that's the right way to do things, in a way that'll accomplish things in a productive way, which keeps our standing within the world. And I feel like that's not what Trump's doing. I feel like Trump is simply lashing out as what he sees as bad.
Well, yeah, he just put $50 billion worth of Chinese goods it was either yesterday or today, I don't remember. But I don't like the way Trump does stuff, even though sometimes I might kind of agree with the direction he's going. But yeah, I know, I see what you mean, and I'd agree with you there.
Yeah. There's a right way to do things, and he's clearly not doing it that way.
It took you a little over 500 days to figure that out.
Just more evidence to the case.
Yeah.
Specifically with NAFTA, that whole agreement, I think it's kind of interesting. I saw, like, something on some news website, whatever, about specifically looking to kind of get rid of the idea of NAFTA and instead replacing it with a trade agreement with Mexico and a trade agreement with Canada. And I think that's sort of an interesting, I think it's a neat indicator of, like, what the Trump presidency really sort of symbolizes, of, like, it's, I think, in some ways a break from the past of, like, moving away from NAFTA, while sometimes trying to kind of keep those institutions in place. Mm-hmm. And I just think that was kind of an interesting little reflection of sort of some of the idea of the Trump politics.
I will say, for me, that idea sounds like going ahead and taking a cupcake and saying, how about instead of a cupcake, we had a muffin, but we put frosting on it.
Ah.
It's just like a
now you're talking.
You know, it's like how...
What's frosting in Spanish?
But it's like how, you know, by branding the Affordable Care Act Obamacare, more people were against it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that would work, but I understand what you mean. That these different
times. I think language and marketing is extremely important, and I think that's something that Trump very much actually does quite well.
He's
great with branding.
He appeals to
people.
Like, honestly, he appeals to the average American in a very fascinating and very, I think, effective way.
I think in 2020, if the Democrats want a real shot, they should get a veteran, have him run against Trump, and brand him as Draft Dodger Donald.
How about
boom?
How
you win.
Tammy Sitch? Yeah. Who's the lady from Chicago?
Duckworth.
Tammy Duckworth. Tammy Duckworth. Yeah, she. Her. Mm-hmm. Her. That would be great.
That honestly, just draft Dodger Donald. Tom Perez, Tammy, if you're listening, please, please take that, because that's such a good name. And come on.
Yeah.
He's a draft Dodger.
Can you imagine him being mean to a veteran with an amputated limb?
Two
amputated? With two
I'm pretty sure she lost.
I mean,
how bad the optics on that?
Well,
would be
he called
so...
I'm
not gonna lie.
John
it's
McCain
not that
someone
far
who
off.
He doesn't like because he got caught and he got away with that.
But to her face, imagine, because he would take a shot about it.
He would. That
might be the breaking point. But we talked a little bit about, like, his marketing and branding, and with the recent report on James Comey and sort of his handling in the waning days of his not his administration, but his time as a director. I noticed Trump do something very interesting with the report, of kind of talking about it in a sense of, oh, look, this calls out, like, how corrupt and everything Comey is, kind of just because Comey was saying, or because the report was saying that the Clinton email sort of investigation was handled poorly and had an impact on the election. So kind of he's like, it's contradicting what he said, like, a couple months back about this was about Russia.
It is.
But then the tweets kind of match up, but not in a way if you really think about it. And I think it's interesting.
Just, he knows that whatever he says, Fox is going to defend it and run with it.
Yeah.
And he knows that people have an incredibly short memory. So he's confident in just saying whatever kind of feels right at the moment, almost, to discredit the Comey investigation, he's going to go with.
Yeah.
If, you know, Comey wore an ugly suit one day, he would say that discredits the FBI because they can't choose a good suit for him to look good.
This dude's too tall. He's a tall freak.
She's
a tree.
There was this morning when he said that, there was this whole, like, little almost sidewalk press conference where he just walked out of the West Wing.
Wait,
and he just
Comey or Trump?
Trump.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, Comey was in the West Wing.
But
everyone would love that.
The thought was formed before you said that, and it was like, yeah.
Tall enough. But basically, Trump just went out onto the asphalt and just started talking with this Fox News reporter. And he is spinning it really interestingly, where he's like, oh, yeah, Comey, he's a crook. It's just what I said. The FBI, they don't know how to do anything. Even though this report is basically saying, without this, Donald Trump could have potentially lost the 2016 election.
Nah.
He's like, no, Comey's a crook. And somebody asked him whether it seemed like he had committed any crimes. And the report that came, when it came out, it said, no crimes at all were committed. Trump said, certainly. They just seem like very criminal acts to me.
Yeah.
What he did was criminal. What he did was so bad in terms of our Constitution, in terms of the well-being of our country. And, oh, my God, he just gets away with this stuff.
It's kind of been a staple of my comments thus far, but it's fascinating. It's like everything that's kind of happening
just
and what he's doing.
Imagining, like, the history books in the future.
That quote you read in particular, what he did. Nothing about what happened.
Yeah,
like, that's a really interesting thing of, if your president has a Twitter that's very active, you read it, and you're like, oh, okay, like, Constitution, I like that. That's what
yeah.
it's like. And it's,
he uses, like, buzzwords.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Words that evoke
He's
things
like,
you know you like.
Criminal, bad for Constitution, America. And that's basically how his speaking goes.
It's like, me, it's just general words you know that you like.
Yeah.
Like, me, Constitution, football, beer. Him,
God bless USA.
Him, nasty food, soccer, and what's something else middle America hates? Tornadoes.
The Irish.
The Irish.
Catholics.
The Irish.
Oh, Oh, boy. Just know the official stance. We do not take an official stance on the Catholic Church on this podcast.
That's my bad. I'm sorry.
I am okay with
Shout out to Ireland, though. Big step forward. Shout out to Ireland.
Oh, you know who we aren't going to give a shout out to?
Who?
Wales.
Nah. What are you against Wales?
Yeah. Discount British.
Did you see? Did you see?
That's besides the point.
You mean the original British?
No. Okay, we're not going to get into
this now. Anglo-Saxons are not real Brits.
This is another debate for another time. But anyways, I don't know if you guys heard also on Fox and Friends this morning, Donald Trump described how when he was there with Kim Jong-un, how the people of North Korea would like sit up for him as soon as he walked into the room. And he's like, that's something I'd like. And I don't think he realized he'd basically just said, I'd love to be a dictator, guys. That sounds really fun. And I don't know, just nothing matters anymore, though, of course.
Aww.
And also, going back to earlier when he saluted the North Korean general, somebody found an old tweet when Barack Obama bowed for, I want to say, like the president of Iran.
No, it was Saudi Arabia.
It was Saudi Arabia. I was going to say Iran. No.
Shout out to Saudi Arabia losing 5-0 in the World Cup yesterday.
Getting crushed.
But he bowed for the president of Saudi Arabia, and Trump called him out on that. And it would just be really interesting to see if there was like, I don't know, just how hypocritical he is. How there's like a Trump tweet for everything.
Yeah.
So.
Specifically, you mentioning the saluting North Korean general. There's a book I have about sort of Douglas MacArthur and kind of his feud with Harry Truman, sort of near that whole issue. And it opens talking about the end of World War II and how MacArthur, just his kind of role, like within the sort of recreation of Japan, specifically, and how he tried to sort of take a view of the Japanese customs, as he called them, Oriental, which, you know, not great. But kind of looking at that and then using that as kind of a basis of how he's going to act and how he's going to, like, represent himself to the Japanese people. And in a way, that might be something similar. I don't think it's intentional
at
all.
I don't think it's intentional.
After we had to drop 2 nuclear bombs on them to beat them in a world war. This is still a current enemy of the United States. We are still not 100% all honky-dory now. So.
Oh, no, I agree. I just think it's...
Yeah.
I don't think this is an intention.
Also, don't forget,
but it may come across
that way. At the time, we were essentially the Japanese government, whereas
the North Korea
government is now just...
No, they're definitely...
There's a distinct power vacuum versus a distinct power.
Yeah.
Also, he was there for 20 minutes. He was there for, like, 3 years, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a different situation, but I think in a way that could kind of come off as a good sign to the North Korean people, maybe not to us back home.
I mean, think about it, though. How many of them have TVs? I mean...
Yeah,
but
they
got this big state-run jumbo town.
I think the people of North Korea are going to see that and may sort of they may react well to this sort of sign of a U.S. official treating a North Korean official with respect.
Yeah,
even though we don't do the same.
That's gonna be a lot of propaganda right there.
No, I agree with you.
But again, who knows if from a month from now we'll have already dropped bombs on them, like you were saying.
So to shift to something more lighthearted.
Wait, real quick, I just want to say, fun fact. Fun fact, one time Nixon, in like the first few months of his presidency, there was an incident back during the Cold War where I think one of our planes was shot at by North Korea or something. And in retaliation, he got really drunk. He called up his like head national security advisor. He's like, I would like to nuke this one North Korean airstrip. And the guy was just like, Mr. President, how about you go ahead, just sleep on it. And the guy had to get Henry Kissinger in there. And it was... That was just my little fun fact.
You know,
at the time,
you know what that really reminds me of?
Nuclear war. What?
Immigration.
How much have you seen of The West Wing?
I've seen the whole thing.
The episode where his doctor gets shot down in the plane.
Hey.
And he goes in that whole Rome parable.
Hey.
It's okay. It's like the fourth episode.
It's very early.
Yeah.
It's really good, though.
Sam mentioned immigration.
I cried.
Yeah.
I like to turn to the sort of little issue over that.
Something lighthearted, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, very little issue. You know what, let's just, like, I think we can just throw it in a cage in the back.
It's
of
biblical proportions at this point.
Oh, I found a really interesting thing about the biblical thing yesterday. You hear about this? So apparently someone like did a...
Wait, real quick, let's just introduce
background.
The topic.
Introduce the topic, okay.
So for those of you who don't know, the Trump administration recently put into place the whole thing where when families come to the border to try and cross illegally, the parents will be separated from the children, and it's something that most people can agree, just universally, is just absolutely disgusting. And this also led to whole controversy about Samantha Bee, after Roseanne Barr. But again, nothing matters anymore. That feels like it was years ago.
Wait, what?
But you don't remember that?
Yeah, I remember it, but it feels so long.
I know. But anyways, this has been causing massive uproar. Also, a few weeks ago, it was Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, or it was like a week ago, Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, another senator, they tried to go into one of these like child detainment, it's essentially a prison. Let's be honest. And it was like made out of an abandoned Walmart, and they did not let them in there. They called the cops on these two senators, and the press just went in there for the first time yesterday or the night before, and they didn't allow any cameras, but I recommend you just go and read it because it's just
horrible,
disgusting. But yeah, so you were gonna.
Oh, so interesting thing about the Sarah Huckabee Sanders invocation of Romans 13.
And someone real quick, sorry, yeah. I just want to say yeah. then Jeff Sessions, when he was asked about this, he did invoke it. It was the Book of Romans, right?
Yeah.
Where he basically said, "Look, it says that you know." You should follow any laws designed by your government because that government was made in the image of God and or not in the image of God. Yeah. That'd be against the
But
Ten
like
Commandments,
just forcing but like
Yeah. Basically you should follow the laws.
Law's good.
Yeah. And it's just something interesting because this is a point I've heard made since then that this was also brought up back British loyalists used this in the Revolutionary War to say hey, maybe you guys shouldn't break away because it's the law and look at Romans. Mm-hmm. And this was also then used again during the Civil War when the slaveholders, they were like, oh, yeah, we're just
following the law.
Yeah, we're following the law. And we're
following rules.
You wanted to...
Well, yeah, but it was to relate to that Civil War point, it was mainly used during the 1850s because abolitionists, because they were like, we all agree now slavery is horrible. But the one thing that people saw as really untenable.
Most people.
Yeah. The one thing.
I'm not saying I am. Just there are some people out there. Charlottesville.
Yeah.
Who think that.
But the one thing that almost everyone could agree was bad was the breakup of families.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of the splitting off the kids and everything. So that was the one thing that when. Because again, you would have Southerners who would try to defend the institution of it. But they could almost never defend the breakup of families. So that's when they invoke Romans 13. And how is that relevant, breaking up families and then invoking Romans 13 to justify it? And which side of history would that place me on?
Also, then it happened at the what's it called? The press
briefing?
Yes, thank you. The press briefing yesterday. A reporter got really worked up at Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and he's like, "You're a mother of two children, I believe." It's just like, how can you not feel any empathy for these people? And she just ignored him, stone cold. Just she's like, "Jim, be quiet. Next person."
In a way, and, I feel bad for her.
Well,
yeah, but she signs up for it.
At the end of the day,
she knew what she was getting into when she saw Sean Spicer on the first day had to go out there and
lie.
Say like
Let's
this was the
lie.
Biggest inauguration. She knew what she was.
No,
getting
I agree. I just think in a way it's like she's not the one signing these policies into law or anything like that. And then she's being confronted with like, oh, you're representing the government that you are paid to represent. And in that way, I do feel like even though she may agree with these policies or whatever, I'm not sure. Most likely, I just think in some ways that sort of. You have children. Like, how could you support this? I think it's a little bit misplaced, and it would be more wisely directed at, like, Donald Trump has children, and he very much more adamantly supports this, whereas I think of Sarah Huckabee Sanders as expressing the opinions of the White House that are not necessarily her own, but if she doesn't, you know, she's going to end up like Sean Spicer.
But the issue
you're fed.
Donald Trump doesn't have press conferences, though. Like, if you really want to ask Donald Trump that,
he
you
does,
know.
But they're not press.
They're not, like
this
real.
Morning,
you wouldn't
people
really have
people have to consider that a press conference.
You wouldn't really have it. You wouldn't have an opportunity to ask Donald Trump this question.
No, I agree. I just think because Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah, that was whoopsies. Sarah, her job is, you know, to express the views of the administration, and if she agrees or not, that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
She's not the one actually doing it, so I just that sort of I understand getting worked up. Mm-hmm. About, like, how can you support this? But she kind of has to say she supports it.
Also, I will say there was another biblical quote that I heard come up. I forget what station I heard it on, but I thought it was at least pretty powerful, in my opinion, where it was someone was like, you know, well, obviously you've read that, but you need to go ahead and read the rest of the New Testament. And there's a bit from Luke 17 where it says in reference to people who, you know, bring harm to children, it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And it's just like they the thing about the Bible that upsets me is there's so much content there that people are able to pick and choose. Mm-hmm. But the majority of the time, it's pretty clearly against bringing harm to children. And I just can't accept the fact that we have people in our government who are using the Bible to just justify such heinous acts.
There's a lot of weird Bible verses. Like, what fabric is this shirt?
I don't know.
Is it 50% one, 50% the other? Because that's against the rules.
Yeah. Also, I can't eat chicken.
Either. Wait, what?
Yeah,
you can eat chicken, I thought.
Fellas, sure? Fellas, I thought they said, fellas, like,
chicken was a
fellas,
dream.
Please.
No,
pork.
Okay, either way.
Pork's the dirty meat.
Let's have Bible class on another.
You mentioned there's so much content in the Bible and there's so much to choose from. And I think this sort of controversy over tearing families apart is almost a political tool in a way of, like, Donald Trump recently has tweeted, like, oh, it's the Democrats' fault. And, like, that's why this is happening. And he sort of demanded, like, a more conservative approach to immigration than the recent bill that was just kind of killed.
The thing is, the GOP also just wrote up another bill recently, and Trump's already saying, I'm not going to sign it.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to.
Still, I mean, it's a GOP-made bill about helping the Dreamers, and he's like, oh, I'm not going to sign it.
Yeah, but I think that's because he views it as, I can turn this against the Democrats. If he uses his powerful sort of image and, like, connection with middle America, he can look at it as, it's the Democrats' fault, like, they're not giving me what I want, and, like, this isn't working out because of them. And in a way, people are going to associate this issue with Democrats, and it'll kind of help to just shift blame.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's a thing. Like, I don't know if maybe he agrees with it or not.
General rule
of
thumb for being a decent person, don't play politics when people.
Oh, no, I definitely agree.
No, I'm not saying excusing.
No, yeah.
But you are right. He's just.
Also, take your minds back. It feels like forever ago. You guys remember the shutdown?
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember that?
Oh, yeah, that happened.
That was
like twice.
That was cool.
No, that happened twice?
It almost. It happened once for like. Like an hour or something.
Yeah, but and that's basically what's happening, because that was about Dreamers plus a little bit of Chip.
Yeah,
and that's basically, he tried to turn against the Democrats, even though it was a shutdown when you have a majority.
Yeah.
Also, they've
already
canned the August recess as well, so.
Yeah.
They don't deserve one.
So I think.
Well, don't forget, this also impacts all the staffers who go ahead and work.
They deserve
their
one.
To
Marsha Fudge deserves one. Sherrod Brown deserves one. Yeah. A lot of those people do not deserve
it. It appears kind of like
the decent people.
It appears like the longer that like this keeps happening, it's almost like the Democrats are sort of on like a ticking time bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, it's just the idea of Dreamers and everything sucks.
Yeah.
As long as he keeps blaming it on them, that's going to start to stick with people. And so the Democrats, I think, will have to make more and more secessions until he gets a bill he likes. And in that way, it's, I don't want to say it's clever, but it is kind of like a political game that I think it kind of winning.
Is it a game he knows he's playing, though?
I feel like most likely there are people who, if you bring up, you know, sort of your personal stance on immigration of like, you know, I don't think Donnie T's the biggest fan. Then you have very intelligent people around you who can help you turn that into political power.
And real quick before we start to wrap up here, because Philip's given me that look. He has a date tonight, so I can't hold him too long. But I'd also real quick to just talk about the decline of the GOP and, of course, perfect three Democrats talking about this.
Yeah.
I
have a very
Democrat
big opinion
left
on this.
Do not identify as Democrat. I'll vote Democrat.
But three left-leaning people talking about the right-leaning people. But to me, it upsets me because I don't know if you guys know about Mark Sanford.
Oh, I have a theory on this.
I'm not familiar.
I have a theory on this.
About
Mark Sanford.
About what specifically? His Argentine lover? Or?
Yeah, that's what Trump was like. He's jealous.
Okay, so
he's
jealous. For those of you who don't know, Mark Sanford, he's a current congressman, not for long. He was also governor of South Carolina. Yeah, South Carolina. And he basically just disappeared for about 3 days one day, or 3 days one week.
Yeah.
In the middle of the work week, nobody knew where he went. It came out later after his staffers said he was, quote, hiking on the Appalachian Trail, that he was actually with his mistress in Argentina. And, so basically that's what happened when he was governor of South Carolina. I don't believe he resigned. He stuck around.
He resigned from the head of this.
Yeah, from the head of the Republican
Governors
Association.
And a couple other things.
But he stuck around as governor. And after Tim Scott ran for Senate, he ran to fill his congressional seat, which he's held since. And he has been at least in Congress, one of the more vocal anti-Trump Republicans. And he lost by, like, I want to say 3% or so in his primary the other day to some really far-right woman who, well, fairly far-right. I know Donald Trump.
I would say that Sanford's related to the right of Trump, though. Because, again, from a libertarian, because he's hard libertarian, I thought. Like, he's not like a really centrist, you know, Rust Belt kind of Republican Democrat thing. No, he's like in the cut of Rand Paul.
Mm. Is he the type who's more, he's against Trump the man and not he's Trump like the policies?
Almost. Well, he did vote a significant time against Trump, but he was very much for small government.
Yeah. We can assume, though, like if George Bush was, you know, putting in this legislation, he'd probably stick with it. Like, stick with the
Republican. Yeah, I think he's also
still. What I'm trying to say is, I'm not saying he's a moderate, but he does speak out against Trump a lot. He votes against Trump, and he lost his primary. And it's stuff like that that worries me, at least, because as a Democrat, I like to see the more right-leaning Republican win a primary because, in my opinion, it can make it easier for Democrats. But as an American, I think that is really harmful for our country. Yeah. And a new poll just came out recently here in Ohio, Quinnipiac. They did a bunch of polling about the governor's race. We're not going to get into that right now, but essentially, Rich Cordray is up by like 2 points. So.
Hey.
And Sherrod Brown's up by 17, of course. For me, the most interesting part of the whole poll was John Kasich's favorability rating was 52%. That's
fine.
Not that bad. But he was viewed more favorably among Ohio Democrats than Republicans.
It's probably that idea of too middling.
It's just a contrast with Trump.
Yeah.
He recently, I think on like he went on some I want to say like Sunday morning talk show, and he said like he's there like representing or trying to represent like the Great Center. I think he referred to it as, and he's not a moderate by any means.
No, he's still a conservative. On the right.
But the thing is. If you look at the GOP gubernatorial primary that happened, Mary Taylor, his own lieutenant governor, was just like, I'm nothing like John Kasich. And
she's trying to paint DeWine as Kasich.
It's just really upsetting to me to see that the Republican Party is almost like going up in flames, for lack of a better term. They're just shifting so far right at some point. It's just going to be very detrimental to them. But I'm just worried because as an American, I'd like the Republicans to be decent people. Yeah. And, I mean, Bob Corker recently said it's become the cult of Trump. And it has been. Yeah. The head of the RNC tweeted out, like, hey, Republicans, if you don't support Trump, watch your back. She threatened any Republican on Twitter who does not support Trump. And just...
Yeah.
They're letting this happen. That's the head of the RNC right there. Donald Trump himself just... attacks Republicans who don't agree with him.
I feel like the axis of, because it used to be the Republican Party, you were there kind of on the socially focused on the family part, where you weren't necessarily pro big government, but you wanted legislation of your political and religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're on the small libertarian Rand Paul side, people like Reed Theory and know what the non-aggression principle is, weirdos. Mm-hmm. And then you have the kind of the vaguely centrist area. But now it's the axis is simply either you're on the Trump side or the not Trump side. And that's all it is.
And, I mean, it's gotten to the point where among Democrats, George W. Bush has more than 50% favorability rating. And it's just
that man is a fool.
It just shows how far we have gone. This is the man who talked about exquisite sex and wholesome violence in the movies. You know, every two child did. I will. But
I think you're misunderestimating George W. Bush.
God. I don't think you can underestimate George Bush.
Misunderestimate, because that's what he said. He said those words. I think there's a really, like, and I don't think the GOP's on decline. Like, you said going up in flames. I think it's just very much shifting.
No, I think it will go up in
flames. You think?
I think there will always
be racist. White people have existed for millennium. They'll exist for millennium afterwards.
Well, I think it won't so much go up in flames, but it'll cause them some trouble in a few elections here.
No, I get
because,
what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, you can only shift so far right before you alienate people. They have a really good opportunity to shift more to the center and grab all the blue-collar voters that they won over in 2016, and then they're just kind of like, how about the racists?
I feel like we should not have universal health care for like 20 years, so we let all the boomers die off, and then we can finally put it in
Jesus
for everyone.
Jesus Christ.
That is too much. But I, like... I don't have any problem with somebody being a Republican.
I do.
Well, I personally don't have any problem with someone being a Republican. I will happily sit down and talk politics with them if they're respectful and a decent person. But so many Republican politicians nowadays, they just aren't, because they're shifting towards Trump. And that just, as an American, that worries me about the future of our country. So
we have 40 minutes.
I think.
Wow, we're at 40. New record, guys.
Yay! Out of three. But I don't want to go too far over time. I think there's a sort of interesting trend in American politics of since the days of Reagan. Like, America's been conservative. Like, kind of, pardon me?
Lightning round.
Yeah. I just think since Reagan, like, for the most part, even our Democratic presidents have been conservative. Like, you had Reagan. You had Bush, and then you had Bill Clinton, who was like a moderate Democrat. Like,
he was almost.
Obama's own admission, he said he would have been a Republican during the Reagan days.
Yeah.
When I say moderate Democrat, I mean like pretty damn moderate.
Aggressively
like
moderate.
Like Democrat, air quotes. And then you had
like
Democrat. I'm sorry, I misspoke.
Like Democrat, but not for those wealthy.
And then you have Bush. And then you have Bush again, and Republican. And then I think Obama's like the exception. Mm-hmm. But then now we're kind of back to like.
Obama was not that far left.
Well, he wasn't that
far
left.
We created this myth
like,
that Obama's this leftist.
I don't think he's that far left, but he's like.
But he's not.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, but he's like more
I
so
mean,
than
he
I would
and Hillary
say
Clinton,
anybody else.
I think are very similar on a lot of issues. And SNL made a really funny joke during the 2016 campaign during one of the debates, like, hey, look, we've got a Republican and then we have Donald Trump. And I.
Yeah.
No, I just think Obama's this sort of like within the modern party system and sort of what each party holds dear. Yeah. Like, conservatism is holding strong, and I don't see a, like, it's, is it getting maybe a little more extreme, a little more to the right? Yeah. But I also don't see any signs of that quite dying yet.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten a little skeptical.
I almost hope that that wing of the Republican Party dies, because that, I don't like that in my America, you know?
No, yeah,
okay,
I agree with you.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but we are running late. Again, Philip has a date.
Can we get Philip to say a word real quick?
Just come over here. And that's it.
Come speak.
Hi.
Tell us some opinions.
Rubik's cubes are good.
What do you think about gay marriage?
It's good.
Chill.
Lid.
All right.
So again, just wrapping up. I don't have a problem with Republicans, just general. I don't like to generalize. I don't have I really hope that things with North Korea work out, and I hope that Kim Jong-un also, we deal with those human rights violations. I hope that Mark Sanford just stays out of Argentina.
Trump's jealous of him. That's why he's
else.
Mad.
I don't have a problem with the Shaker. Right? You guys do good work. Just make the make the podcast a little longer. I do have a problem with the Welsh. I don't really think there's anything more to say. So, also, again, go fill out the application for the love of God.
bit.ly/ACCASTAPP.
Please go do it. If you know any Republicans, please send it to them. And just at this point, the greater Cleveland area. If any of you have contact with Geraldo Rivera, my new goal is to have him on the show. He lives in Shaker now. If you run into him just in Shaker, tell him to come on my podcast. That's my dream. If you want to sponsor, please sponsor. I have nothing more to say. Yours and forever, Christos.
Bye-bye.
Bye.